fun.
Vov Nissen, Thursday the 29th of March, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, Descent into Egypt in Halacha and Machshava.
So I'd actually like to start from the second, which is the concept of Mitzrayim in Machshava, and deal with the title that Chazal gave Pesach, namely referring to it as Zman Cherusenu, time, literally, translation, the time of our freedom, which is the neshama of Pesach, the ikkah of Pesach, and which means that when we refer to Pesach in Kiddush through the year, and we talk of this being Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, we mean that we are reflecting on the Cherus that Yetzias Mitzrayim brought with it, because Yetzias Mitzrayim be'ikka created Zman Cherusenu. Now, this works with regards to Shavuos, Sukkos, Yom Kippur. They are, after all, an outcome of Yetzias Mitzrayim and connected to the event itself. But on Shabbos, how can we talk of Shabbos as being Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, given that Shabbos precedes it by almost 2,500 years? How can an event that clearly was created for other reasons and created far earlier be part of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So there is a two-stage process that takes place. At the time of the Asara Mamoris, with which the world is created, there is a Gilui, there is a revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, that there is a creator. If there is a creation, it bespeaks of a creator. At the time, however, of the Eser Makos, it's not simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. It is rather that there is a plan, a control that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exerts over the world, and that there is a plan to every element within Bria. And this means, therefore, that Cherus is the freedom that arises from having a goal for my life. My life now has meaning. My life now has a purpose, and that is real Cherus. As it's often put, the freedom to choose. The idea that I can use my life in a way which until now would have been meaningless. That is what Cherus actually is. And therefore, Shabbos also is that same revelation in many ways. It's a revelation of purpose. Since Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, what Shabbos is demonstrating is that the Sheshes Yemei HaMaaseh are leading somewhere. There is an ultimate goal, which is why, as we know, none of the other days of the week in Lashon Kodesh have a name, have a title. Only Shabbos is given that distinction, because only Shabbos is the goal, is the outcome, is the purpose. And that is also why the second of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah is called Shemos. So in Latin or in English, they call it Exodus, which is an understandable word because that's what it deals with. And the Medrash Chazal refer to it as Sefer HaGeula, but we call it Sefer Shemos. So you could say, on a superficial level, that's because in the first Pasuk, it says, Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael Aboim Mitzrayim. But it's much more than that. A name is something that is given to an object or to an activity or to an individual that has a purpose. You don't bother naming different blades of grass or different grains of sand because there's no difference between one and the other. But a name denotes a unique quality. And therefore, the reason Klal Yisrael were able to come out of Mitzrayim is because they held on to their names. And when the Medrash tells us, Shleishinues Shmom Lashonim and Malbushom, the fact that they didn't change their name doesn't simply mean that they were all called Kohen. It means that they never lost sight of the fact that they have a purpose. They never changed the idea, the value, that they have a purpose, even at a time where they were surrounded by Shibud Mitzrayim. And that also explains the posuk at the very beginning of the meeting between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe at the snare. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, V'zeh l'cho ha'ois ki anoichi shelachticha, this will be the ois that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sent you, Moshe, after Yitzis Mitzrayim, you will come back here to Har Sinai and you will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that doesn't work as an ois. Moshe wants, it would seem, a means of convincing Klal Yisrael that he is the Shliach Hashem. And later on, in this dialogue, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to throw his stick on the ground, it becomes a snake, and his hand becomes a Metzoras, etc. So those are oisios which he will take and show Klal Yisrael. Why is this an ois? Telling them that, you know how you know that I am the Shliach Hashem? Because eventually, hang on in there and you'll see, we'll serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. That doesn't work. That's not what Moshe was looking for. Moshe is looking for a purpose, an outcome to Yitzias Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you want a public, visible sign, understanding of what Yitzias Mitzrayim is about? It will happen when you come back here, because that will give meaning to Yitzias Mitzrayim. That will put it into perspective. You'll now understand why there needed to be a Yitzias Mitzrayim. And in fact, Moshe's entire life is seen in that context. As we know, Moshe has 10 names. Yet he is referred to, unusually, by a name he was only given when he was 3 months old, and not by his parents. Despite the fact that Amram and Yecheved were the Gedolei Hador, and therefore it's likely that when they named him, they understood the name that they were giving him. So why is it Basya Bas Pari's name that triumphs, that transcends all the other nine? So the Maharal explains that this world is made up of Chomer and Tzurah. There are the raw ingredients, that's Chomer, and Tzurah is the shape that you give the raw ingredients. The piece of wood is Chomer, the chair, or the table, or the bench, is the Tzurah that you imprint on top of this Chomer. You create out of the Chomer a Tzurah. Of all the things that we come across, that we use in the physical world, the object that has the most amount of Chomer, or put it differently, the least amount of Tzurah, is water. Water has no self-respect. Wherever you put it, that's what it looks like. You put it in a round container, it's round. You put it in a square container, that's what it is. You put it on the ground, it just runs away, right? And ends up in the deepest cracks that it can find. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's whole life was there to bring Torah into the world. Torah gives everything in the world a tzura. It gives everything in the world purpose. It gives everything its chayrus. Because until then, we don't know why the world has what it does. We don't understand why the world is created in the way it is. After Torah, we understand how to make use of every single item in the world. Therefore, Torah gives tzura to the chomer of the world as it stands. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's whole life's goal. Kimina Mayim Mishisihu means this is who you are. This is what you do with your life. You come away from that which is Chaimer because you are Tzura. You are the vehicle through which Torah will be expressed in this world. And from that perspective, if Chairus, if Yitzias Mitzrayim, means giving a perspective to my life, giving an understanding to why I'm here and what I can achieve, then Golus is obviously the opposite. It's the dislocation of purpose. It's moving away either from having a goal, or it is a dilution of that goal, a dilution of understanding that we're part of the Am HaNivchar. It's a dilution as a result of the Hashpah of the world around. It's interesting, the Nesiv HaShalom writes that we know Klal Yisrael were on the 49th level of Tumah, but we don't find that Mitzrayim imposed this upon them. We know about the Yevonim, that they enacted various specific decrees against Klal Yisrael, spiritually, not just Begashmias. But we don't find that the Klal Yisrael ends up the way they do because the Mitzrayim forced them into this situation. Rather, the effect of being Goy Mikerev Goy, the effect of being Mitzrayim almost, created out of Klal Yisrael a nation that looked like Mitzrayim. And this is part of the Golus that they went through and the Cheirus that they eventually experienced. And I was in Ger recently, in Ger in Poland that is, and I said over a vot of the Chiddush HaRim. He talks about the terminology that the Torah uses in Parshas Maaseh with regards to the Membeis Masois. The Torah tells us that these are Mitzoehem L'Maseihem, meaning that, in the literal sense, that they left one place and they ended up in another. They journeyed from one to another. But he translates Mitzoehem to refer to Yitzias Mitzrayim that each of us goes through at every stage in life. We go through, and it's a Beloshon Rabim because there are multiple Yitzias Mitzrayim that we all go through. We are on a journey towards the Cheirus that Klal Yisrael experienced. And he says that if we embark upon this properly, then he translates the words Masayehem with the word Siyua. He relates it to the word help. He says, if we commit ourselves to Yitzias Mitzrayim, then we are helped in being able to achieve that goal of Cheirus. And this is also what lies behind the idea of the fifth kois. It's a little strange to be pouring out a kois and not making use of it. Mimamshach. Either that expression of Geula has happened, and we drink it, or it hasn't happened, so we don't pour it. But this halfway house doesn't seem logically to make any sense. And in most kehillos, that kois is not drunk. So I once heard an idea from Rabbi Leff. He says, if you look at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, as we know, there are, in effect, five expressions of Geula. The difference is that the first four happen on autopilot. Vitzesi, Vitzalti, Vgoalti, Vilakachti, that all happens automatically. But in order to get to the expression of Vehevesi, there is a clause, there is a t'nai. It says, V'yedatem, ki ani Hashem. There needs to be a reflection and understanding of Klal Yisrael's tachlis in the world. Once they've got to that level, they'll be able to drink the fifth kos. In order to bring about that reflection, we pour out the fifth kos so that there should be something upon which we focus. In order for us to understand our path to Cheirus, there has to be something which prompts that decision, that connection, and therefore we pour out the fifth kos. even though, of course, we can't drink it yet, because we haven't achieved the ultimate chirus. So far, the concept of chirus and Mitzrayim in terms of al-pimachshava, so to speak. In halacha, there's something very interesting about Mitzrayim. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim writes that a person can live anywhere in the world except for Mitzrayim. Egypt is out of bounds. Why, says the Rambam? Because on three occasions, the Torah forbade us from ever going back there. Rambam quotes these three psukim, and the Rambam is based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells us that not only is there an issa to go back to Mitzrayim, but that on three occasions, Klal Yisrael rebelled against this issa, and on each occasion they were punished for it. This is echoed in the Gemara in Sukkah, which tells us that the Yidden of Alexandria, when it described the massive shul there and the kehillah that was there, eventually they were all killed. Why? For having been over on this issa of going back to Mitzrayim. And there is a story that arises from this, because of course we are left with the obvious problem of the Rambam having spent almost 40 years of his life in Mitzrayim, beyond all the other Gedolim that were there as well. How do they square the circle? And in the Rambam's case, it's the most obvious steerer. So there's an interesting addition by the Marit Zeilen. He writes that the Gemara tells us, Kol hador b'chutz la'aretz, anybody who lives in chutz la'aretz, it's as if he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah. The Rambam changes slightly the terminology. The Rambam writes, Kol hayetze, anyone who leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz is somebody who is Ovid Avodah Zarah. Whereas when it comes to Mitzrayim, he includes in the issa somebody who lives there. Meaning that when it comes to living in any of these other countries, the issa is leaving Eretz Yisrael. You can't leave Eretz Yisrael for no purpose. But if a person is born in these countries, then fine. Whereas Mitzrayim, just finding yourself there for reasons not of your choosing, that's not enough of a reason to continue your residence there. It's also to be in Mitzrayim. So, how do we come out of this obvious kasha? Now, it's true it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch does not write this lahalacha. Nevertheless, clearly, some of the Rishonim held it was a halacha which still was applicable. The Ritva in Yuma gives two answers as to why it wouldn't necessarily be a problem. Firstly, brings the opinion that this only refers to Mitzrayim as it stood at the time. And the new cities that were created are not the Mitzrayim of old, and therefore it's mutter. We find this same idea with regards to Yericho, that it's not necessarily a town called Yericho, even if it's in generally the same geographical area. The Issa of Yeshua was rebuilding Yericho as it stood, and we know that there was an individual who did so, and his family died as a result. So here it is, the cities themselves. Although, the issue would still be relevant with regards to Alexandria, because it's interesting, in Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam specifies Alexandria as a city where there is an issa to be living in. Second answer brought by the Ritva is the fact that it only applies at a time where Klal Yisrael are shurim al admosam. When they are living in Eretz Yisrael, then to go down to Mitzrayim is an issa, And the Marshal adds, that's because we are avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not avodim to anybody else, and therefore, putting yourself back in Mitzrayim is, you know, on some level, re-experiencing Golus Mitzrayim, the Shibud Mitzrayim, from which we have emerged. As we said earlier, we are now, we have a chelik of Cherus. But it would appear, therefore, that at a time when we are not, at least physically, in the Geula, when we are mushubud to other nations, then this Isov going down to Mitzrayim does not apply. And he proves it. There is a posuk, as we all know, that the Uvo Oivdim Me'eretz Ashur, Va'nidochim Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So that clearly there will be Nidochim in Eretz Mitzrayim who will be brought back at the time of Geula, because prior to that they will be part of this Shibud. Rabbeinu Bachai has a different approach. He says it was a mitzvah l'shah, as long as the Mitzrayim existed. The Issa isn't Mitzrayim, but the Mitzrayim. It's the people who are described in the Torah as being a te'eva. And we know that we are told that k'maisa eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo, that we shouldn't imitate the actions of the Mitzrayim because they are an abomination. And therefore, he says, it only applies while these people are around. And therefore, and this is echoed by the Smug, once Sancheref came, and Bilvel is kol ha'olam, so the people living there are no longer the Mitzrayim of old, and therefore the Issa no longer applies. And it's interesting, this itself is a machlekes, whether Sancherev's inroads affected Mitzrayim, or whether Mitzrayim niten lehem kitzvah. Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that the Mitzrayim actually were brought back to Mitzrayim. So that in itself would be Sharib Machlaikas, but the Rambam would be of the opinion, as he writes, that Sancherev's activities included Mitzrayim, and therefore there would be a Heter living there today, and it's not a kasha why the Rambam would therefore include this Issa when it's not applicable nowadays, because the Rambam deals with Tariyad Mitzvahs, not just with those that apply post-Churban HaBayis, unlike the Shulchan Aruch. So there is a story that is told, the Kafta of Aferach brings this, that he met a descendant of the Rambam, that the Rambam used to sign letters saying, I, Moshe ben Maimon, who is over B'chol Yoim on Gimel Lavin. This is extremely dubious. For one obvious reason, and that is we have many of the letters of the Rambam, and none of them bear any simon, not in abbreviation, in shorthand, or in any other form, that the Rambam ever signed a letter this way. Beyond which, imkvar, if the Rambam mamush held it would be an Issa d'Oraisa, then, admittedly, he was chased from Spain to Morocco to Eretz Yisrael to Egypt, but there were other Muslim countries that had kihilos that he could have gone to. So it's unlikely that is the case. The Radvaz, who himself was the chief rabbi in Egypt in the 1500s, although he eventually went to Eretz Yisrael where he died and is buried, writes, as long as it's ein das lehishtakea, it's logur b'mitzrayim. And he points out that the Rambam himself in the next halacha gives certain allowances for pragmatia, for certain reasons that one would be allowed to find themselves in Mitzrayim. It's interesting, in the 20th century, this shaila was addressed by the Tzitzel Eliezer and Avdim L'Chaim L'Chaim by Rabbi Avadi Yosef. It was addressed throughout the last 500 years by many of the Acharonim. But Rav Avadia Yosef was asked this question by a group of journalists, some of them either were traditional or frum or whatever, and they wanted to cover the peace process in Cairo. So they wanted to know, are they allowed to spend overnight in Mitzrayim? Are they allowed to be there for a temporary period of time? So the Radvaz says, as long as it's Ein Das Lehishtakea, it's fine. And the Aruch HaShulchan adds that Bifrat, the Rambam, he wasn't there simply as the Rav of a city, or eventually the Rav of the country, but to do battle with the crime. When he came to Cairo, out of 150 families there, 100 were Karaite families, and only 50 were what were called at the time rabbinic families. And therefore, they had made very strong inroads into how the Yidden were living their lives, especially in Hilchos Mikveh, beyond any other specific Doraisa. And he, during his lifetime, managed to bring Mitzrayim around to essentially being a non-Karaite place. And therefore, he had very good reason to be living there. And at the end of the Tshuva, so he makes mention of the fact that 30, 40 years ago, one of the Gedolim dealt with the question as to whether, post the Second World War, there should be a gezeira instituted that a person is never allowed to go to Germany. And he writes, it's gezeira she'ein hatzibur yechayla lamoid bo. And he says, haraya, that even though when it comes to Mitzrayim, it has a deraisa basis to it, yet matzach gemitchet. And throughout the Deiris, the Rishonim and the Achronim wrote reasons why you could, so to speak, override that Issa. He says, how much more so in this case, where it would be a Drabonon to start with, and therefore, he says, one would not make this Gezerah, one would not impose this Gezerah. Interestingly, the Chidah tackles the question from the perspective of Halacha, asks the question that the others ask about how could all these Gedolim and how could thousands of people live in Mitzrayim, including, of course, Rav Avadya Yosef himself, who was a Rov in Egypt, I think, till the 50s. So he tackles it Al-Pi Halacha, and then he writes, but Al-Pi Kabbalah, the Arizal writes that the reason you can't go down to Mitzrayim is based on a posuk at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is the reason to be living around the world during the time of Golus? Because there are Nitzitzas HaKadusha that exist in all of these places. The idea that the Shekhinah is in Golus is the fact that there is Kedusha to be found in all of these places, scattered. It's no longer only in Eretz Yisrael. However, we are told, Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim. They laid Mitzrayim bare. So the Arizal says it doesn't simply refer to the gold and silver from a physical perspective, but from a Ruchni Hashkofa. That they were meila all the nitzosis that existed in Mitzrayim, and meila it's also to go there, because there is no tachlis in living in a place where you are not going to achieve the chairus of purpose. There is no purpose in being there anymore. There's no goal in being there. There is nothing left for you to achieve. And that's why there's an issa to go to Mitzrayim. And then the Arizal adds, however, since in the times of Gedaliah ben Achikam, they went down to Mitzrayim, and they were over on the Tzivui, the Novi told them not to go, and they went anyway. So at that stage, there were Nitzotis HaKadusha that fell, so to speak, as a result of the actions of Klal Yisrael, and Memela, there would yet again be a reason to be there. But it's interesting that having said this, in other words, that Al-Pi Kabbalah, there could be reason to live in Mitzrayim, the Chidah does not adopt this aspect of Kabbalah l'halacha. So it's an interesting outcome that the Torah, of all the places that we have ever been subject to a Shibud, used Mitzrayim, and the Novi used Mitzrayim as the one on which it placed the dogish. Perhaps because this is where Klal Yisrael was created through Shibud, or perhaps because of the Te'eva that the Mitzrayim represent. But we find an emphasis on this, and on three occasions the Torah is madgishit, yet for one reason or another it would seem that it's inapplicable today. The interesting thing might be in not too many years from now, when the majority of Klal Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael. At this moment in time, there are already more Yidden in Eretz Yisrael than in any other single country, more than in the United States. And it isn't that far off that we achieve the tipping point of the majority of Klal Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael, whether, according to one of the Terutzim of the Ritva, we would go back to saying that they're Shrim al Admosam. He doesn't seem to say that it needs to be at a time where there is a Beis HaMikdash, and maybe at that stage there would be a greater Issa in going down to Mitzrayim. It's interesting with regard to something like York that we find, at least sort of in Tereshe Baal Peh, in oral communication, that one shouldn't even spend overnight in York. So there seems to be a takef of the cherem that is far broader, far wider than Mitzrayim. Here it seems to be Dafka living there, but who knows what will happen at a time where the majority of Klal Yisrael are back in Mitzrayim. It could be that back in Eretz Yisrael, that it could be that the nature of how we view living there will actually change.